Hello and welcome back to Disc Golf Daily, the podcast that tries to catch you up on all the disc golf happenings around the world in 8 to 10 minutes or less. My name is Brian Papawolf-Frawley and I'm stoked to come here today to talk to you about the Jonesboro Open presented by Westside Disc. I just finished. I may sound out of breath. It was a very exciting final couple holes there for those of you that were watching live on DGN. It was thrilling to hear the announcer's passion for the excitement in Ben Callaway and Anthony Barella and Calvin Heimberg. It was just great to hear Nate and Terry talk about that. But I don't want to get too far into this story. Hey, what'd you do this weekend? I TD'd a disc golf tournament and told lots of people about Disc Golf Daily. You should tell some people about Disc Golf Daily as well. Coming in to this weekend, there was lots of stories about the eclipse, lots of stories about who is going to maybe try to be the returning champion here. We had Cap Merch dress up as Macho Man Randy Savage. I know that got me going. I'm sure it got you going too. It's always exciting to see things like that. Starting out in FPO, after round one, we had Kristen Tatar with a nice six-stroke lead over Evelina Solonen, Jennifer Allen, and Lykke Lorenz. Lykke was also tied with Holland Hanley as well as Jennifer Allen as well. Going into that day, day two, Kristen continued to extend her lead, but Holland shot the hot round of the day at neg 10 on day two, jumping her up into second position. Evelina held strong, staying at third, and Emily Beach made quite the jump up to fourth position, tying Heidi Line as well. And, of course, Lykke Lorenz, can't forget her. Going into the final day, was Holland going to make a push? Was Kristen going to hold? What were we going to see? It was pretty exciting. The wind had picked up. We saw a lot of different types of shots be successful during that day. But, of course, Kristen came out and birdied four in a row from four to seven, giving her a neg four in the front nine, having a couple bogeys and a couple birdies, but walked in an nine-stroke win. Congrats to Kristen. Holland Hanley stuck with second place, even though after nine holes she was plus four in the round. She had a great back nine, shooting neg five in the back nine, getting her to secure that second place. Evelina held strong with third place, giving her another podium finish this year. Maria Oliva jumped up 10 spots, giving herself a fourth place, birding five out of the final six holes. And young Eliezra Middleton jumped up 14 spots to tie Heidi Liney at fifth place with Lykke Lorenz as well. Congrats to all those players. Some of the side notes from this event were some of the players that missed cash for FPO. We had such players like, here we go, Paige Hsu, who is 945, Stacey Ronsley, who's 954, and who else do we have? And Sarah Hokum at 956, missing the cash. Shout out to some of our lower rated players who did cash, starting with Eliezra at 937, taking fifth place. And let's see, who else do we get a shout out? Emily Beach at 938, taking 14th place. So congrats to them. This leads us into the Music City Open for next week. Very excited to see what happens with the FPO players there. The MPO side was full of stories leading into this. Every interview leading up asked who is going to take it down and how is your eclipse. Also, there was a lot of discussion on the hole changing. Old hole this, new hole that. Luckily, I was just happy to go out and see things live on Disc Golf Network. We saw a pretty exciting round one for the MPO with Kevin Kiefer shooting a wonderful negative 11 along with Anthony Barella, and James Conrad and Richard Wiesocki, a.k.a. Ricky Wiesocki, and Ben Callaway and Calvin Heimberg and Albert Thom and Jacob Summerun all shooting neg 9. So there was a few people in third place. Like, a third of the field was in third place, basically, after round one. Round two, Mr. Isaac Robinson shot a hot round of neg 11, jumping him all the way up to the lead. Anthony Barella was tied with him. Calvin Heimberg was sitting one off them. And fan favorite Simon Lizotte was in fourth with Ben Callaway and Albert Thom. leading into the final day, you had a lead card with lots of different storylines. It was a talking head, a podcaster, a someone that's just a super fan's dream for the event. You had Calvin Heimberg, who is a fan favorite, even though he maybe not be the loudest or the most flashy player. You had Anthony Barella, who's already won two events this year and has always been the future of disc golf for many of us that have been fans. Isaac Robinson, reserved, but yet the player of the year and a force to be reckoned with. And of course, fan favorite Simon Lazat. Simon openly admitted he was battling a back issue, pulled out of the OTB skins for next week, but says he still wants to play Music City, so I wish him the best of luck and hope he can recover well. He did recover very well, shooting enough to get him a top five still, but we won't jump ahead of the story too far along. I want to take this time to give a shout out to the people at DGN. We had an amazing chase card and we had an amazing lead card this week. You had Ben Callaway, Albert Tom, Ezra Aderholt, and Gannon Burr on the chase card, and I felt like we got just as much coverage of that card as we did lead card, which really made the final 5-6 holes even more exciting for the fan as they were tuned in to watch. Good job, DGN. Go tell them they did a great job. Going into the final run, we had Ben Callaway with a one-stroke lead as he teed off on 18 and other people were teeing off on 17. Ben unfortunately went out of bounds, opening the door for Calvin and Anthony to battle it out. Calvin found OB off the tee on 18. Anthony found inbounds by a few feet, knowing that he could just throw under and then tap in for the par to secure the neg 24 and his third victory, 3 out of 5 right there. Only other player to do that was, I believe, a guy named Paul Macbeth. I hear he's pretty good. This was a very exciting weekend for the fan. It was great viewing, and I'm super excited to continue to see events like this, where it is down to the last minute, especially in the MPO side. A couple of names to shout out that maybe quite didn't get a cash. Let's see, some high-rated players that didn't cash today. Joel Freeman, one Paul Macbeth, and a guy named Nicholas Antila. Those all were pretty high-rated players who did not cash. Shout out to some of our young, lower-rated players that did cash. Albert Tom, who had a great sixth-place finish. Matt Bell, who took 12th. Garrett Gerthy, who took 16th. And Jake Hebenheimer with Ty Love in 16th. Congrats to all of those players. I want to give a shout out to a unique individual, a very cool young man named Wayden Sides from Corpus Christi. The DGN has the live hole camera on hole 15 this weekend, which was the island hole. And we got to see Wayden ace it on Saturday, which was super exciting. Great for the young 16-year-old. But not to outdo himself, he did the same thing on Sunday, and that just blew my mind. I was super happy for him. Congrats to him and his family for having such a cool and unique experience at the Jonesboro Open. I love the Jonesboro Open because they advertise the city of Jonesboro as well, and that's always cool to see. Shout out to all those little cities that love disc golf. It's very, very important. We're transitioning now to my new favorite statistic, the Bohr score. If you've been playing along at home, you know that we've been talking about some holes, possibly, being a little bit too boring to watch or boring to play, depending on how you want to view this. Here we wanted to look at the amount of pars per hole. Sometimes there's a lot, sometimes there's a little. We want to see a little bit of variety from a fan standpoint and from an action standpoint, and that's important to check out. I want to note hole 2 for the FPOs. Hole 2 for the FPOs was a little extreme in my humble opinion. Hole 2 averaged 80% par over the weekend. There is not a lot of differential for the FPOs when 80% of the par is 80% of the hole or field is parring that hole. And then the remaining 19%, for instance, on Saturday, 81-19 split, got a bogey. There were no birdies, no double bogeys. That's not a big scoring spread hole, especially so early in the round. You definitely want to get a little movement going. At least that's my opinion as a fan and a guy that likes to run a few events. Followed up by hole 2 was hole 3 at 74% roughly, powering that event for the FPO. For the MPO, we only have one kind of red flag, if you will. Hole 11 played at 71% par for the field across the weekend. Something to take note for you course designers and TDs. How can we add a little bit more variety as we are going through? Remember this week to take a moment and tell someone about Disc Golf Daily. You know we have a Facebook page? You should stop by, like it, share it, tell some more people to listen to. We're so thankful for everyone that does take an opportunity to listen to us every day. I'm out for now. Again, my name is Brian Popowolf-Frawley, and I love doing this. I hope you love disc golf too. Have a great day, and remember to keep it in the fairway.